Hey, Wendell Patrick from a distance.
Hey, Aaron Henkin, all the way over there.
Here we are, connected remotely, again, on our respective home studio mics. How you been?
I've been okay. I mean, a little bit stir crazy, but I've been productive. It's been okay. How have you been?
I'm all right. You know, I've been reassigned to this other daily news podcast, The Daily Dose, about Maryland and all things responding to COVID-19. That's been keeping me busy. And, you know, one of the side effects of that is that Out of the Blocks has been collecting dust a little bit. Not ideal, but kind of the way it has to be right now. Mm-hmm. But you and I, we are long overdue to release this episode, Lexington Market Part 3, which, if you believe it, we originally promised was going to come out like a month ago. This is going to be kind of like a weird time capsule or an artifact now from this not so long ago world where we could all go out and wander around and be in each other's spaces.
It is. And in fact, one of the last times I went out, actually the very last time I went out before all this happened was when I went down to Lexington Market the last time to take some pictures. But I did go down there a few days ago because demolition has begun in the place where the old promenade was. That's gone. It's just some tractors. There's a crane there and just pretty much an empty lot at this point.
So this episode, I guess, is kind of our swan song episode about the old Lexington Market as people knew it. So we're going to share this overdue episode with you guys. And I should say, stay tuned at the end of this episode, and Wendell and I will tell you about some of the new sort of special episodes of Out of the Blocks that we've got in the works for you in the weeks ahead as well. So enjoy.
Enjoy.
We have everything, Polish sausage, Italian sausage. We have a hot country sausage, kielbasa, beef hot dogs, turkey sausage. My name's Steve, and business is called Sausage Master. We got mustard, we got a hot salsa, chili, a mild sauerkraut, and fried onions. My father had run the business back since 1986. I guess he wanted to take an early retirement, and I told him I'd take over and go ahead and do that, and that's how I came about it. It's a no-brainer. I mean, I wanted to help my family out, so, you know, they still needed income, so it's, you know, typically when Asian families, you kind of help the family out with money and stuff when they're not working. So, yeah, they came here back in, I want to say the 50s, from Korea, and I was born here.
So your dad saw a big chapter of this market's history, huh? What kind of stories does he have for you about the way things were back in the day?
I mean, I was here too. I was in middle school too. So I kind of saw, you know, I was in middle school working here too, like on the weekends or on vacations. Yeah, everything he saw, I pretty much saw, you know, because I was always here right along with him.
Kielbasa, fried green peppers, onion, mustard, chili, sauerkraut.
This a regular stop for you? You sound like you know what you want here.
Yeah. My mother been coming here since she was, 15, I think. She said he was a little boy running around.
Me and her mom grew up together.
T-60. Must be nice to have customers that you've known for so many years and to have multiple generations, huh?
Yeah, now she has a daughter and, you know, it's like, yeah, exactly, multiple generations.
My daughter, see the sign, she said she want a hot dog. She told him, but she wanted only two. My daughter's three. So now my mom's grandchild is coming here too, and know what she wants. Even though she's three, but she still know what she wants. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
What you making right now?
Hey, I'm making a regular hot dog.
This is my employee, Mai.
What's on your hot dog?
Great employee.
Raw onions are cooked.
Great personality.
Anything else? My name is Mai. I'm 21, and I started working here on a humble. But I enjoy working here. It's fun. I learned to be patient with people. And like, it just gives me people skills. Like, I didn't have people skills. I didn't, when somebody would cuss me out, I'd be like, all in my feelings, like, oh, I don't know what to do. I must just stop doing this. But working here, I just have to be tough.
Say chili and sauerkraut?
Yeah.
205. So a lot of people think of Lexington Market as all these food stalls. We're in a full-size grocery store that's part of the market called Hurling's Grocery, yeah?
Hurling Grocery, yes.
You sell everything a normal grocery store sells, and you sell everything a convenience store sells, including lotto tickets. You sell alcohol here.
Alcohol, beer, and lottery, grocery, and frozen stuff.
And you work here as a clerk, a stocker, sort of an all-around helper.
Yeah, everywhere is I'm working. 12-hour.
12-hour days.
Mm-hmm. Yes. My first name is Brooke. My last name is David. I'm from in Ethiopia, in East Africa. I'm coming in the U.S. Now almost 7 years. I'm learning in the supermarket English. You see so many different people is coming, so many accents. Chinese people, black people, white people is different accent. So I like that way. So that's why I'm working, I'm learning English in I'm working in the supermarket.
What is your hope for the future? What do you want to be doing 5 years, 10 years from now?
I want to open like my own supermarket or something. Just I don't want to make for someone money. I want to make on my money. So I have next, my baby is coming. Not like my way. You need to change a different way, different life, different way.
You have a baby on the way, you say?
It's not right now. So before it's coming, I need to do something like for my life.
Tell me the story of your wife. You were married in Ethiopia and she came here before you?
No, she's living before here. So she's coming in Ethiopia. So I'm seeing her. After that, she changed cell phone number. I didn't know she's from America. So I'll call her next day. Like, she's coming for vacation. So a couple days. So she doesn't tell me she's coming for America or something.
So your wife is Ethiopian.
Yes.
She's living here in America.
Yeah.
She comes back to Ethiopia for a month. You guys meet. You hit it off together, but she doesn't tell you that she lives here in America?
She doesn't say it. I think everybody want to come to America. So some people like, oh, okay, I want to marry with you something. So she the one is that way. After that, she see really he's loving me or he doesn't love me.
Wow. So she didn't tell you that she lived in the U.S. because she didn't want you to think that she was your ticket to the U.S. She wanted to make sure you were really in love with her.
Yes.
So she left after a month, kept in touch with you by email.
Email.
And eventually, and you guys wrote back and forth, and eventually she said, I do want to marry you.
Yes. I think she have it. I'll show you her. She's here.
You keep a picture of her in your wallet. Oh, she's beautiful.
Yes.
What's her name?
Marta.
Are you glad you came here? Did the promise of America live up to what you hoped it would be?
Yes, America it have a more opportunity, freedom. You born here, you not born here. Everybody he say respect you, you respect other people. That's the way I like it. So, like I feel like my country now.
You feel like America is your country now?
Yes.
What language do folks speak in Ethiopia?
He speaks Amharic.
Will you teach me how to say thank you in Amharic?
Amiseginalo.
Amiseginalo.
Yes. Amiseginalo.
Strawberry cakes sell good. Double chocolate, coconut, buttercream, and chocolate icing, and the lemon. Okay, my name is Jean, and the last name is Key, and Muley's Bakery.
Do you have a sweet tooth? Do you like cake and cookies?
Yeah, that's what we eat too. Yeah. Uh-huh.
When did you first come to Lexington Market?
1976.
Do you remember the first time you ever walked into this market and saw this place? What did you think?
Oh, this people was jammed inside the market, but it was so amazing. Everything is inside, like the old style, you know, old fashioned style, and a mama and papa business. That's what my family got from the produce business. And then, you know, every day I see this lot of people over here. You know, this counter was always busy. That's why I get it.
You bought this business from the old owner in 1990?
90, uh-huh.
So the market was pretty different 30 years ago?
Oh yeah, the market was so nice in that time. You know, so many people in the market, but not now.
I need the half a pound of snickerdoodles and chocolate chip. Yeah, the cool guy can't.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Come on. Well, I'm from Korea. Coming in here, trying to go to school, but the living cost was not easy to, you know. Then we decided to work.
Give me a plain pound cake.
What did you want to study in school?
I was going to study in the business and economic. I go evening around 10 years, but that, you know, I never finished.
You never finished your business education, but you ended up owning a business.
That's what it is. You know, I raised my children, they've grown, and I'm still here.
Hi, may I help you?
Will you introduce me to this young woman that you're working with? Who's your assistant over here?
Her name is Oma.
My name is Oma Billups. I've been here for like 3 years at Muley's. I'm from Trinidad. I came to this country in 2002. I more or less does everything, mostly cakes, decorating cakes.
So you've got a workstation here with icing bags of every color of the rainbow there.
Yes. This is a two-tier strawberry shortcake, doll design cake. And we have Hello Kitty. We have all different themes of cake. Baltimore Ravens. We take pride in what we do.
What's it like to work with Miss Jean?
Well, she's the best employer.
She's very nice. You know, we work together like a family. You know, I never thought about she my employee. We just, you know, like a family. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, baby. Have a good day.
Thank you, ma'am.
My name is Robert Thomas. I'm the executive director of the Lexington Market, Inc. Where we're at today is an interesting transitional time. We recognized that this facility is problematic going forward. There are things that we can do to get it close to being a 21st century facility, but they come at a pretty significant cost. And that would not just be an upfront cost, but an ongoing cost. And so the decision by the board was to simply get someone who could help us do a redeveloped new structure. And Seawall has come along, and this would have been the charge of anybody who got the who was awarded the RFP, has the had the charge of helping us finding enough funding to get this done, and then working with a master plan that we had initially established and then enhancing that to take us to the next level and get this new building done.
Talk about the sort of main body of customers that come through here every day, what they are looking for, what they expect, what they can afford, and whether or not when they walk in the doors of the new place, they're going to find anything that's for them.
Right. Fair question. It wasn't on my list of most worried things, but it is a concern because we want to keep, we know that there is a core group of patrons who continually use the market. They're looking for the value proposition, which is a big thick sandwich or a plate full of food for something under $10 or less if you can make it. Those customers will continue to come to the market seeking what they can, and I would prefer that they do. How we do that in the context of, quote, trying to make the numbers work is just, from my standpoint, a matter of being really pretty smart and having tiers of pricing so that people can get what they need. If somebody wants a $21 Kobe beef sandwich, fine, but for the most part, the guy just wants $5.95 for hamburger and fries. Should still be able to get that to some extent. That, though, drives us to the place and connects with the question of who gets to stay. Because certain merchants are, A, there's a group that's going to retire. They've actually said that to me. I just want to hang in there until I can retire, which essentially will probably take place over 2 years. But there are those who really should stay, and we want to make sure that they can afford to stay, that they can pay the rent. I don't want to create any kind of stigma or segmentation in customer base. But these are the things that we're just trying to navigate. One of the things that is important for us is to make sure there's an institution called Lexington Market survives. And that's going to mean change. Except credit cards. Seems like a small thing, but it's a big thing for, we had to make it a mandate for our merchants. Have some kind of online presence. At least have email so that when management sends out something, we don't have to continue to do it the way I've done it for most of these 20 years, 20 plus years, is hand them a piece of paper, sometimes translate it, that says this is what's happening these days or this is what I require of you. Those can hang with it. Great. Those who are saying this is really too much for me, I get it. This has been a livelihood for many people. And I used to say that people here come and buy a job. It's very different than if you were like a hard charging entrepreneur. But this is what I do during the day that supports my family, sends my kids to college, pays the mortgage, that sort of thing. And when you're dealing with people who are in that mindset, change is disruptive. And so it behooves us as a management team, as a seawall team, as a board, to lead people through that in a way that doesn't really upend their entire lives with no recourse. And that's what we really need to do. But we need to grow and change. We need to make sure that we have things that are useful in a 21st century environment, because there's more coming and we're still behind the curve. I'm trying to get to the end of the 20th century and we're facing 21st century retail pressures. So it's kind of where we are, but that's what we need to do. But I will tell you this, that history, people say, oh, you're erasing the history. History really has never made us any money because we're not a museum. We're a business. And so I get it. And there are things that we can do to recall history. But I'm not one to hold on to history if it's in the way of the progress that we actually need to make for the very survival of the institution.
It's very convenient when you want to change something to say that line. Because Lexington Market is not a business in the traditional sense. It is a public market. My name is Nicole King, and I'm an associate professor and chair at the Department of American Studies at UMBC. And pretty much the point we are at in Baltimore right now is any private developer who's going to build anything in the city is going to require and request public money. And then they are beholden to the public. So I would really push back on that statement that we're just a business, because the city of Baltimore is not a business. And if we allow our politicians and we allow our developers to use that narrative, we, the everyday people in the city, are reneging on our own commitment to the public and the fact that we are all in it together.
Tell me the story of the project that you have been doing with students at Lexington Market.
In 2015, we developed the Baltimore Traces Communities in Transition Project, focused on the central question of how a city changes and doing historical research and creating media and different products that address that, but really focusing not just on how the city changes, but how people feel about those changes was really the central thing. Because we often think about the history of cities, and it's told from the perspective of the developers or the business owners or the rich, wealthy people that really have changed the city. But what we wanted to look at was the everyday people and kind of the right to the city for all of its residents, the people who live and work in Baltimore. And we were drawn to the Lexington Market. And we had a lot of classes in Lexington Market. And I think students really got a sense. We read about it. They got a sense of the history of Baltimore. But when we actually went to the market and started having classes in the market space, I remember one student from D.C., she was like, oh, I understand what this is all about. This is a space for Black people. And she was an African-American woman from D.C., and she had seen the gentrification and the change in where she grew up. And she saw, you know, firsthand when you're in the market, you understand that this is a bustling space, and it's also a space that is still predominantly African-American. And that's one of the things I think that working with the students, being in the space, you study the history, you get a sense of it, but being in the space, you understand the issues of change and how they're based on these issues of power and who can be in what spaces and, you know, who are we redeveloping the Lexington Market for, really?
Well, my name is Derwin Stewart. I'm a sergeant I was a sergeant with the 231st Combat Engineer Unit, Winchester Armory. I've been living in Maryland all my life, Baltimore, Maryland, all my life since 1958. I'm a retired veteran. I've been coming to Lexington Market ever since the early 70s, and this is one of my histories from Baltimore City with Lexington Market.
Tell me what's special to you about this place. What gives it a special place in your heart?
Well, I love the bakery down here, and I love chitlins and hog maws. That's what I'll be basically eating from down here at Lexington Market.
I always like to think of whoever I meet as my teacher for the day. You got any words of wisdom for me about life?
Only words of wisdom for life I have for you is be safe in Baltimore and pray for our city, because we need prayer, because there's a lot going on in Baltimore City that wasn't going on in years back. And we all need prayer, whether we're young or old. We have to pray for us and our youth right up to today.
Out of the Blocks is an original production of WYPR and PRX. I'm Aaron Henkin. I produce the show along with Wendell Patrick, who creates an original musical score for each episode. And Wendell, this is kind of a bittersweet end to this episode, considering the current scene down there at the market, huh?
It definitely is. It's just 3 blocks south of where I live, and I'm used to going down there and maybe getting myself a crab cake, but that Lexington Market is gone for now, gone for good.
Also, I guess, kind of a bittersweet end of an era for us, too, at least temporarily, while we wait this out, wait for the world to get back to a point where we can wander around the city again and meet people face-to-face and get back to making episodes of Out of the Blocks with our original formula. But we've got some cool sort of social distance modified episodes of Out of the Blocks in the works that we're recording and editing right now, and we're looking forward to sharing those with you in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, when this all started, I was just wondering what we were going to do, just like everybody else. But the stories that we're going to be sharing, I think, actually, they're fascinating in their own right. And even if the world were not different, it would be a pleasure to share them with all of our listeners.
So, I think coming up next, what we're going to release is an episode. I think we're going to call it James's Block. It's about a fascinating young man, just turned 18. His name is James Burroughs. He is on the autism spectrum, but he is also a musical genius and is really into electronic music production. And so we've fashioned this episode that, you know, he's, of course, on home isolation with his family, along with, you know, everybody else in the world being home. And so we've been working on this format where we've been sending out, instead of interviewing people, we're sending out audio diary prompts for everyone in his extended world of Zoom, basically, and his family. And so it's going to be a compilation of all these different people sort of talking about how they fit together as a piece in the puzzle of James's life. And then, of course, we're going to have Wendell's going to get to put his heels up for an episode because we're going to score it with James's music. But Wendell, I know you're going to be working on the music for this other episode we're doing about a diary.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm really looking forward to hearing James's music. I've been a fan of his for a good while now. And the diary. That's a fascinating story. I'm looking forward to getting back to writing some music for that. As I understand it, these are stories from all over the world, from different people that have interacted with this diary over a very, very long period of time.
Yeah, it's a guy who 25 years ago, on a lark, he bought a blank diary. On the cover, he wrote in marker, "Read me." And on the back cover, he wrote his name and address. And they left it in an airport. And on the front page, he wrote something like, you know, hey, if you find this diary, leave an entry and then stick it somewhere else for somebody else to find. And then he forgot about it, basically, as the years went on. And then out of the blue, 25 years later, it came back into his life. Someone had the diary. It was completely full. 25 years had passed. And so we're producing this episode where he and his wife have recorded all these sort of audio diary entries about the experience of getting this crazy artifact back from around the world. And then we're bringing the diary to life by having all these different actors from the Maryland Improv Collective read the different pages of the diary. So that should be a fun one to produce and put together too.
Absolutely. So we do have lots of great stuff in the works, and cannot wait to bring it all to you.
And we're happy to hear your ideas too. You know, you've been giving us great feedback. Always good to get food from thought from you guys, our listeners. If you've got a virtual block or a meta block that you want to let us know about, hit us up. We're on Facebook, Out of the Blocks on Facebook. We're Out of the Blocks 1 on Twitter. Wendell, we're on Instagram too, yeah?
We are Out of the Blocks 1 on Instagram as well. And we've gotten some really great suggestions, so thank you. Please keep them coming.
So, yeah, stay tuned, and we'll be back at you as soon as we can with a fresh episode. And I'll just say to you, stay healthy, stay sane, stay apart, but stand together.
And stay safe. Take care.
All right. Be well. Thanks for listening. Out of the Blocks is supported by PRX and produced with grant funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Maryland State Arts Council, the Hofberger Foundation, Patricia and Mark Joseph Shelter Foundation, Inc., the Sana and Andy Brooks Family Fund, the Peel Center, and the William G. Baker Jr. Memorial Fund, creator of the Baker Artist Portfolios, online at bakerartist.org.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.